The credit mess has exposed another corner of the financial system to scrutiny. Ratings agencies. We're talking about Standard & Poor's and Moody's and a couple of other companies that make their money by rating investments, giving you some idea of how much risk you may face. To talk about the role these agencies played in inflating the housing bubble, we've turned to David Wessel once again, economics editor of The Wall Street Journal. David, good morning.
Good morning.
Let's try to lay this out step by step. You've got overinflated mortgages. They get bundled into these gigantic financial packages that Wall Street investors buy into, and the ratings agencies were the ones telling investors whether this was a good risk or not. What were they saying in recent years?
These agencies put the organic food-like label on securities, and they tell people with a letter grade system, AAA, AA, and so forth, how much risk they're taking. This was a business that is really important because a lot of investors, both individuals and big companies, don't spend the time to figure out how creditworthy the underlying company or government entity is. They rely on the rating agencies to tell them, is this a really risky bond or is it a safe one?
And when somebody came and said, okay, we've got 100,000 mortgages, we've put it all together into one big financial package and you can invest in that, you can buy a piece of that, the agencies were saying what, that it was a good risk again and again?
They were, and it wasn't just a package of mortgages, it was a security so complicated that even big, sophisticated investors weren't quite sure what the risks were. So they said, well, Moody's, Standard & Poor's, and Fitch say AAA, it must be good. We'll count it as AAA.
Well, what was happening? I mean, were the agencies basically saying, most people pay back their mortgages?
They relied less on the kind of green eye shade looking at the books and more on sophisticated, they thought, computer models that told them how risky they were. And I think there was a little bit of everybody pretending they understood these securities, even though they didn't.
Are you saying that these things got so complicated that even the experts were not expert enough?
Absolutely.
Wow. So does this raise questions about the whole system of ratings and how they make their money and how they reassure people?
Yes. It raises questions about whether there was too much reliance on rating agencies, whether they are actually capable of evaluating these securities, whether they communicated the risks in a way that investors understood, and whether there's conflicts of interest because they make their money being paid by the people who issue the securities. So they have every incentive to do lots of ratings, and they face no financial penalty if they get it wrong.
Wait a minute. They're paid by the people that they're rating?
That's right. When John Moody founded the company that still bears his name, the investor paid for the information. But in the 70s, that changed, and the people who sell the securities, they pay for the rating, and the rating agency gives it free to investors.
Well, what alternatives are there to this system?
One alternative is to turn these things into highly regulated government-controlled entities, but a lot of people are afraid of that. The agencies themselves are rushing to head off new regulation and law by altering their approach. Moody's, for instance, is saying maybe we shouldn't rate these complicated mortgage securities on the same scale that we do corporate bonds, A, B, and C. They've proposed a 21-point numerical scale to show that the risks here are quite different.
Are they basically repackaging the same product, though?
I think what they're looking for is a way to convey that these are evaluations of securities that are very complicated and that they aren't the kind of solid, clear grade that they give on more conventional, simple securities. The way a doctor might saying that there are a lot of tests here, and I'm trying to give you a sense of what your health is, but there's no one test that tells you the right answer.
Should investors and banks just be doing more of their own homework?
Yes. One of the lessons of the last year has been that if you don't understand it, you shouldn't buy it. That goes for Merrill Lynch, and it goes for the ordinary person listening to this program.
David Wessel of The Wall Street Journal, thanks very much.
A pleasure.